Hello and welcome to the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Allison Succomelli. Each week, I'll be taking the science of positive psychology, adding a little humor, and through evidence-based research, provide you with tools and strategies to help you live a life of peace and purpose. In this episode, we'll be talking about shadow work. But first, if you want some more Zen in your yoga practice, check out lotusandluna.com and receive 20% off at checkout by entering the code LEMON. Again, that's 20% off at lotusandluna.com simply by entering the code LEMON, L-E-M-O-N, just like my company name, The Lemon Tree. And I just received my copy of the Flourishing Co's Joy Journal, which helps guide positive and reflective thinking in your daily life. Use this journal to set clear goals and to create a meaningful impact on your mental well-being. Find the Flourishing Co's Joy Journal in their shop at theflourishingco.com. And teachers and anyone in search of self-care tips, check out my shop on TPT called The Lemon Tree by AKS for some free lessons, organizers, and self-care tools. Again, that's teacherspayteachers.com, and my shop name is The Lemon Tree by AKS. Okay, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast. This week, I'm flying solo, and while I love and appreciate all of my wonderful guests, I also like the solo episodes too, where I really get to dig into the research and talk about topics currently on my mind. With that said, I'm coming off of probably one of the most difficult weeks of my life, personally and professionally. It's in the wake of a lot of loss on all fronts, which of course brings up past losses, and I kind of started to picture it like a pile of broken hearts that I think I've dealt with, but new losses seem to always pull those things out of the dark. And speaking of darkness, this week I wanted to talk about shadow work. I, of course, do not do shadow work with clients in my coaching practice, but do shadow work in my own therapy sessions. So shadow work is basically a type of psychotherapy that focuses on what we call the shadow self, which are parts of the psyche or our mind, spirit, and soul that we often keep hidden from ourselves because we deem them to be undesirable. This can be things like resentment, trauma, anger, codependency, or other things that we don't want to admit to ourselves or others. And Carl Jung was the first to introduce this concept and the term shadow self to describe things that people repress or do not want to acknowledge. This shadow self is the opposite of what people present outwardly to other people. And Jung theorized that people could gain a better understanding of themselves, live a more happy and fulfilled life, and become more balanced if they spent time working with their shadow self. He also did not view the shadow self as a negative or shameful. Instead, it is an important part of one's personality. When you enter into shadow work with a licensed therapist, the goal is to work with the shadow in order to reframe it and manage impulses that usually get ignored, such as anger, selfishness, or greed. Licensed therapists and practitioners of shadow work say that it helps clients with identifying what they don't want to admit about themselves, learning to identify negative personality traits, some of which society has instilled in them, developing self-love, self-care, and how to be more accepting of themselves, understanding that they are not alone when it comes to facing their shadow selves, and many other people are facing the same challenges. Identifying and accurately naming emotions, as well as confronting trauma, grief, and other uncomfortable emotions, and understanding how daily interactions, society, childhood, and various relationships influence their lives. By exploring parts of yourself that have been repressed or exiled by shame or resentment, think of your shadow self as your wounded self that needs to be brought to light so it can heal. It is the hurt that was never processed and can reach back into decades of your life. I know it sounds scary to look at these things within yourself, but it can truly be life-changing. But you have to tap into your shadow in order to process and heal your stuff. When we don't resolve the parts in us that had a bad experience, like an event in childhood, a bad relationship, anything that was negative, those things still affect us until we fully resolve them. For example, if you were in a relationship and you got cheated on, you're going to have trust and/or abandonment issues unless you deal with it and resolve it. If you don't, that gets carried into your other relationships. You have to resolve the inner shadow. Think of it like the greatest teacher who will repeatedly send you back to yourself, to your inner shadow, until you learn the lesson and resolve that darkness within you. Again, you are not broken. You are not alone. Everyone has a shadow self. There is no such thing as the perfect person. We all have bad experiences and make mistakes. The important part, no matter how much we hurt, we have to process and resolve what has happened to us. If we live by constantly suppressing the anger, the hurt, the resentment, those things don't go away by just stuffing them down. Shadow work is looking at the stuff that we don't realize we are even stuffing down and suppressing at times. We may not even realize it's still there, or that we are carrying it around, or that it's affecting our lives, whether it's something that happened in childhood or last week. It's also important to note that the shadow is not all negative. It sounds like it's negative, but every shadow side has a positive side as well. So not all hope is lost, which is again why we need to process and deal with our stuff. Even if we convince ourselves that it's not really a big deal, it will eventually surface at the most inconvenient times. And the goal of shadow work is to identify the negative and look for the positive behind it. In other words, what message is this negative trying to tell me or teach me? You can then reframe the negative so you can acknowledge it, process it, and heal it so it doesn't continue on with you throughout your life, affecting relationships and your daily living. It's all about healing and moving forward. Of course, this doesn't always happen in the blink of an eye. It may take time and work, but once you get to the other side, it really is amazing. Ken Wilber and the Integral Institute have a module that is part of their Integral Life Practice program that deals specifically with the shadow. I highly recommend reading Wilber's work or viewing his videos. They have been recommended to me time and time again by psychotherapists. First, I'm going to share with you a simplified version of Wilber's 3-2-1 process, and then the technique as it is explained in his book, The Integral Vision. Keeping it simple for beginners of shadow work, first notice your triggers. Triggers are really important to pay attention to because they tell us what we need to work on. They are simply symbols of what lies within your unconscious self. This is the easiest thing you can do to bring awareness to your shadow self or your inner shadow, where you are hiding the things you don't want anyone to know, including yourself. Observe and notice when an external event triggers an emotional reaction within you. Observe, be present in the moment, and notice the trigger or what is creating an emotional response. This creates space between your true self and your shadow. Next, after you practice this process of observing, noticing, and identifying the emotional reaction, you may want to begin a shadow work journal that you can reflect on and help bring awareness to your shadow self by recording your triggers and noting the repetitive patterns that include behaviors or situations that show up in your journal entries. This is important because it will also help you to track your progress with your shadow work. Third thing you can do is practice daily meditation. This has been a game changer for me, and I know it sounds like woo-woo stuff sometimes, especially since it's become so mainstream, but honestly, it does really work. You don't have to become a monk and go climb up on the hillside in a robe. You can meditate anywhere, but at the appropriate time, of course. Certainly not in the middle of a work meeting or the line at the grocery store, but a time that you set aside for yourself. Perhaps it's not done daily due to your schedule, and that's okay. You have to do what works for you. My sessions currently are only about 10 to 15 minutes, depending on what my schedule looks like for the day or how well I have prepared for the day. I'm an early bird, currently getting up at 4 a.m. to work out because that is what works best for me and my schedule, and I end with meditation around 4:50 a.m. to about 5 a.m. Sometimes at the end of my workday, it feels almost savory or like a reward to get in another session of meditation for about 10 minutes. I try my best to keep a routine, but sometimes things come up and you just can't do it, and that's okay. To incorporate shadow work into your meditation practice, you simply greet your shadow with the positive energy of love and acceptance. You can simply do this by saying yes to everything that comes to mind, be it a thought, an image, or an emotion. The focus of this practice is to create space for any part of yourself that shows up, including the shadow parts. If anger presents itself, you can simply say to it, "I see you, I love you, I offer you the space to be." And if you want to move on to a more advanced practice, Ken Wilber's 3-2-1 process for the shadow is also a fairly simple technique that you can practice anywhere on your own if you would like to manage your shadow tendencies. A key component of positive psychology is balance, and kind reminder that the purpose of shadow work is to balance and reconcile a suppressed piece of yourself. The 3-2-1 process involves addressing your shadow part first in the third person, or it, then in the second person, or you, and finally in the first person, or I. These steps are summarized as face, talk, be, and here's how the technique is explained in Wilber's book, The Integral Vision. Locate the shadow, or it. See what you judge in others, what triggers you, and what you reject. Talk to it, or you. Start having a dialogue with the shadow part that you identified. You can ask why it comes into your life, what it wants to show you, or what it needs from you. Be it, or I. Just for this exercise, embody the shadow aspect that you discovered. Imagine for a few moments how it feels in your body, what it says, and when it wants to show up. In application to dreams, you can, first thing in the morning, before even getting out of bed, review your dreams and find someone who showed up with an emotional charge, positive or negative, in the dream. Face that person, holding them in mind. Then talk to that person or simply resonate with them. Finally, be that person by taking their perspective. For the sake of this exercise, there is no need to write anything out. You can go through the whole process right in your mind. And to apply this technique before bed, reflect on your day. Choose a person who either disturbed or attracted you during the day. Face them, talk to them, and be them. So again, face, talk, be. This 3-2-1 process can also be used with situations and memories that create a disturbance. Wilber gives this example. Suppose that you have a dream in which a stranger is chasing you and you are frantically trying to get away. That stranger may represent some information from your shadow that is trying to come to your awareness, but your conscious mind is fearful of letting the information get through. This time, stop and face the stranger. Once you do that, you will most likely find that the stranger also stops and simply stares back at you. Next, talk to the stranger and ask what he or she wants you to know. Continue looking at the stranger until your fear dissipates. You will begin to recognize that there is really nothing frightening about the situation at all. If you can imagine what the stranger might say to you, it will very likely be something like, "I'm just trying to protect you," since protection is one of the functions of the shadow. Whenever you feel you understand the stranger, you can begin to imagine incorporating the traits of the stranger into yourself as you be the estranged part. If you are interested in lucid dreaming, maybe I'll talk about that one later. I had a former psychologist who was very interested in lucid dreaming. I've only succeeded at it once, but it hasn't really been something on my mind lately. Anyhow, if you are interested, you can check out Charlie Morley's work on lucid dreaming. We've only gone over some very fundamental aspects of shadow work here. just remember face, talk, be. I would recommend partnering with a psychotherapist who specializes in shadow work if you want to dig deeper to really process and heal. If that's not your jam and journaling at home on your own is more your speed, here are a few prompts that you can respond to in your journal or in your mind if you are not interested in writing things down. But again, the purpose of recording your responses to the prompt is so that you can look back on your entries and recognize a pattern of behaviors or situations in which you are triggered. It's a process of observing, noticing, and identifying the emotional reaction to a trigger, and hopefully finally processing it and fully healing. This is not an easy feat, but worth the work. I wasn't certain that I was going to share this or not, but I was recently hurt by a very close friend. Not my first rodeo in that arena. I'm not going to get into the details, but I hope we can figure it out. But in speaking with this person, I won't even let you know if they are male or female. They talked about, in tears by the way, about how they were suppressing this and that, and that is what really created the problem and hurt in our relationship. So it's devastating, to say the least. But please work with your shadow self so this doesn't happen to you, whether you are the person hurt or hurting someone else because of the lack of shadow work. Truthfully, I am so broken by this event, I'm barely standing. But it did bring to light one of my own triggers, which I don't know if I can say that I've reconciled it yet. It's too soon, but we'll certainly be speaking with my own therapist this week about it. That's another important point. If you're going to enter into a therapeutic relationship with a psychologist, you have to bring your full self to your sessions. Otherwise, you will not get anything out of it. Like any relationship, you have to have psychological safety. So if your therapist isn't making you feel like that, it's time to move on and find another one. But really do bring your full self to your sessions once you find the right fit for you. I no longer recommend my therapist to friends because what works for me may not work for them, and then there's this weird overlap, but friends need to find their own person. But back to the shadow work journal prompts. Here are a few to help get you started. The first one, when and why do I get triggered the most? Which feelings do I suppress the most? What do I judge the most in others? What do I admire most in others? What events from childhood impacted my developmental trajectory the most? Think of something you want to work with. It could be a past relationship, a current relationship, a feeling of anger that comes up, a feeling of shame that comes up, a need for validation. It could be any number of things. This particular prompt may be something that you need to sit with for days or weeks before you begin. There is not a specific timeline, and everyone is on their own journey. Next prompt. Think of a former version of yourself and invite it in to have a conversation. For example, it could be the angry you in a particular situation. Have you, as you are now, have a conversation with the former version of angry you. This exercise can be spoken out loud or written in a journal. Dialogue with the former version of yourself. Question the former version of yourself, like, why are you doing this? What is it that you want from me? What is the positive intent you are trying to keep me from? Just whatever questions come up. There is not a particular set of questions for this exercise. Again, everyone is different and on their own journey through processing their stuff and healing. We all lack something, and that need for that lack of something gets stuffed down, and we bring it into adulthood with us until we acknowledge it, process it, and eventually heal from it. Not everything, of course, is due to something that happened or didn't happen in your childhood. As adults, we have both positive and negative experiences that can affect us. Things like loss, grief, relationships, work, all things from different versions of ourselves in different chapters of our lives. The purpose of this work is to recognize that you are not the same person you were last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever the case may be, or in all cases. I'm certainly not the same I was last year or even the year before that, and vastly different from who I was in my last romantic relationship. We're always growing and evolving as individuals, as are our friends, family, and partners. And it's important to really acknowledge that you are not the person you were years ago today. If you engage in this conversation with your former self exercise, you are not to judge it or shame it. You simply need to acknowledge it and hear it out. So choose something to work with, invite it in to have a non-judgmental conversation, talk to it, and question it with compassion. The final step is to integrate the shadow. Imagine yourself as your present self going back to the former version of yourself, the specific event or whatever it is that you want to resolve, and resolving it and seeing it go the way you want. Maybe in a past relationship you were cheated on. Remember, the focus is on you having a conversation with your former self and not the person that cheated on you. In this scenario, your present self would comfort your former self in that situation and provide your former self with the validation that you need during that time. Give yourself the support that you need. Perhaps at the time that support was missing. Friends didn't give you the support you needed for whatever reason, or the means by which they thought they were giving you support really wasn't the support you needed, like merely shoving a drink in your face and not really hearing you out or validating your feelings. Perhaps you did not have the coping skills to deal with the cheating at the time. So this is about giving yourself all the resources that you didn't have at the initial time, but now you do. You can heal and walk yourself from your past self to your current self and accept that it is okay to not have had the tools to support you at the time. Of course, this is no simple task, but well worth the time to practice the exercise. It can be life-changing. And one of the most important things you can do when it comes to healing is to sit with yourself and do the inner work instead of distracting yourself with external things that keep you busy and prevent you from doing the work that needs to be done so you can heal and not carry whatever it is with you into your future life and relationships. This inner work is not just something that you can merely think about and say that you intellectually understand it. You have to get in the game and actually do the work. Pick up a journal, write out the steps, respond to the prompts, do the work with a licensed therapist, or you are doomed to repeat the past over and over until you learn the lesson, understand the positive intention behind the shadow, what it's trying to say, highlight, or warn you about. It will not come by merely saying you get it. You have to do the work. To make it work, you don't have to become an expert on shadow work. There's no one way to do it. There's more efficient ways of doing it, but overthinking things can become overwhelming and paralyzing. Keep it simple. There are no rules. Just remember, the shadow side of us, which is essentially all the stuff we shove down and ignore, we push it deeper and deeper as more stuff gets suppressed. It doesn't get rid of it. It just compacts it and makes it worse, even if we are not acknowledging it. The suppressed stuff eventually comes out all at once. We project it onto others. We don't deal with it. We engage in escapism, or we carry it around forever until we deal with it. It certainly weighs us down. So shadow work, despite the name sounding dark, heavy, and seemingly negative, has the power to release what you've been suppressing. Remove the weights that you've been carrying around for however long and set you free. And if you are experiencing a mental health emergency, please immediately dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline or visit 988lifeline.org. Okay, so there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this solo episode of the Lemon Tree Coaching Podcast on shadow work. Of course, you can find books and other links in the show notes at thelemontreecoaching.com under the podcast and resources tab. If you like my show, please share it with a friend and follow or subscribe wherever you are listening so you don't miss an episode. And kind reminder to check out the Flourishing Co's Joy Journal in their shop at theflourishingco.com, as well as my TPT shop called The Lemon Tree by AKS for some free lesson plans, organizers, and self-care tips at teacherspayteachers.com. Again, my shop name is The Lemon Tree by AKS. And you can find a link to all this good stuff on the podcast and resources page at thelemontreecoaching.com. And feel free to contact me if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes. Okay, as usual, it's been a pleasure sharing the space with you, and I will see you next week with more evidence-based research, tools, and strategies grounded in positive psychology. I'm Dr. Allison Succomelli. Have a great week.